All right, so what you're going to be listening to in the next little while here is a collection of interviews and updates from the Hopwired Festival at the Croatian Cultural Center a couple weeks back. And in it, you will hear interviews with the four collaboration beers and coffees from Fuggles and Warlocks, Backcountry Brewing, Lighthouse, and Moody Ales, as well as some interviews with people enjoying themselves drinking beer, and then also the people who made the beer. So have a coffee, have a beer.
You are listening to Pacific Beer Chat. We are a collective of West Coast beer bloggers sharing our opinions on events, issues, and well-crafted brews. We discuss both local and international issues and aim to educate and entertain. We are a part of the Hopped Up Network.
So, Cardell here from Brewart Inlet, and on behalf of Pacific Beer Chat, standing just outside the new Hopped Wired Festival at the Croatian Cultural Center in East Vancouver. Pretty stoked to try all the beers, but the coffee section is something that's quite new to me. I enjoy a good cup of coffee just as much as anyone else, but I'm pretty sure if they're taking it to the same level of craft beer, there's going to be a lot to learn. Also excited to see all the collabs between the coffee roasters, makers, sellers, and the breweries. I'm sure there's going to be some cool stuff, hopefully some innovative stuff. I've heard word of some blonde ales with coffee, so that should be interesting. And hopefully learn something along the way. You know, all about learning here at Pacific Beer Chat. Anyways, we'll get in there, talk to some people, learn some stuff, drink some beer, drink some coffee, try not to die from uppers and downers, and good morning, SkyTrain. Goodbye, SkyTrain. So I've stepped in now, and I've managed to have my first beer of Modern Times. I can't remember the name, but nice beer, and a coffee from the Ethical Bean. And both were delicious, but I'm feeling that tension in my body right now between the coffee that wants to get me up and the beer that wants to settle me down, and I hope it's going to be a good time. All right, so we've got Sabrina here talking about the coffee sour cask with Notch.
So this is a very delicate kettle sour. It's a wheat kettle sour. We worked with our friends over at Outred Coffee and Tea Company. We used a Notch cold-pressed coffee for it. It's a medium roast, to be honest. I'm not sure of the characteristics, but it's a little bit fruity, I know. It works really well with the sour tartness of the beer, so it kind of works from the coffee into a sour finish and almost a zero aftertaste. It's really easy drinking, 6%, 8 IBUs, it's not hoppy at all.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sipping it now, and I didn't know what to think when I saw coffee sour, but I love the innovation. But yeah, I guess I don't know a lot about coffee either. I love good coffee. I couldn't say much about it. But I do get those fruity notes and good coffee, and it seems to work right in. It intermingles and twine together. So surprisingly awesome.
Weird, but good weird.
Yeah, really good weird. And you were saying Notch Coffee is out of Vancouver?
It is, yeah. Their parent company is the Outred Coffee and Tea Roasters. They're downtown Vancouver based. They
Outred,
do all the roasting.
Is that like, Handmaid's Tale?
I don't know.
That's Offred.
Yeah, no, Outred. Outred. It's
awesome.
It's his last name for the coffee. Yeah, yeah.
Great beer, thanks very much.
Yeah.
All right, so we got John from Backcountry Brewing talking about the No Sleep Till Breakfast Stout. What was the process of that?
So the process for this one was we partnered with 1914, which is a cafe in Squamish, and also Galileo Coffee, which is a roastery and cafe in Britannia Beach. Mm-hmm. 1914, Mike Chapman sourced the green coffee, and then it was then roasted at Galileo. We took that coffee and made cold brew with it, and then injected it into a milk stout that we made at Backcountry.
Cold brew, I hear, is integral because like it affects the brewing process if you use hot brew cups.
I mean, there's all kinds of different ways to do it. If we could have done hot brew coffee, we probably would have.
Right.
It is like doing it hot brew coffee on that kind of scale with that much coffee is really hard to do without like some kind of like specifically fabricated equipment.
Yeah.
So otherwise, you're pulling espresso shots for like an entire day.
That's a good
which
point.
I have actually done at another brewery called Steamworks in Vancouver.
Oh, yeah.
I used to work there, and one of our beers we used to make there was an espresso stout. And literally, one brewer would go upstairs and pull espresso shots for 10 hours straight.
So
they actually did that. It was insane. But I mean, like that's kind of like why you make cold brews because
it's easier.
It's easier.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
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 Oh, this one's great.
Oh, thanks, man.
I mean, a lot of great stuff coming to you guys. And we were up there, my girlfriend and I, last weekend, and we were just blown away by like the level of beer coming out of Backcountry right
now.
Oh,
cool. Thank you. Thank you, man.
Those hazy beers are unreal. Cool. I love the your collab with Twin, one of my local.
Oh, the Stop Short?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Unreal. And, yeah, love what cool. you guys are doing.
Awesome. Thanks,
thanks,
man.
Thanks for chatting. All right, so I've got Matt here from Prototype Coffee. He's going to tell us a little bit about coffee because I can't do that.
Yeah, so today I brought two different coffees. Both are really small lots, kind of micro lots. The first one is a Guatemala. It's from a single farmer. It's a single farmer lot in Huehuetenango, Guatemala. So,
sick name.
Yeah, Huehuetenango. They call it like Huehue for short.
I would pick coffee just on the name, but yeah. I'm sure you put some greater thought into it.
There's a lot of really good names, especially in Africa. It's like, yeah. Yeah, so it's really interesting to taste these two because they're so different from each other.
Yeah.
The Guatemala, you get lots of chocolatey, kind of smooth caramel notes. But the Kenya, because of the area that it's grown in, you get a lot more fruity notes coming through. So it's like really juicy, very fruity.
Awesome. And Prototype Coffee, what's your story?
Yeah, so I'm really small. Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, I'm a very small operation. It's just me.
Yep.
I roast on a 1 kilogram roaster. I've been going for about a year now. I was working in the Vancouver coffee scene for a while before this.
Yeah.
But I kind of wanted to start my own company, work with coffees that got me really excited.
Yeah, be your own boss. No
yeah.
saving that.
Yeah, yeah. So I've just been doing roasting the coffees that I'm excited about.
All right.
Yeah.
And where can we find your stuff?
So I do only wholesale and online right now. So I got my coffee at Revolver, Small Victory. And then I just started at a couple new places, Kafka's on Main, and Coffee Truck, Johnny Can't Surf. Those
awesome.
Are my four. And then you can order online at prototypecoffee.ca.
I don't want to take up any more of your time, but do you put like cream or any sugar in your coffee, or are you straight?
You know, if you're used to creamy sugar, like,
yeah,
I'd say...
straight coffee. Or no, sorry.
I'd say try it, yeah.
You say go that way.
Yeah, I mean, some people, my wife actually loves cream and sugar in her coffee, or cream at least, in her coffee. So if you're used to it, then I think it's fine. But I prefer to drink black.
Thank you.
You
because
get
that's
more
how I do it.
Yeah.
All right, man. It was great chatting to you.
Yeah, thanks.
Appreciate it. All right, so I got Chris from Van Pours and Corey from Brutiful BC here. And best beer, favorite beer so far? Not best. That's one you like.
It's a tough one, but I really, really enjoyed the milk stout, the cold brew milk stout from Mariner, actually. Yeah, that was super good. I think Corey was enjoying that one too. But.
Yeah, I mean that was a really good beer. It was honestly my first beer from Mariner, but good impression so far. I mean the collaboration brew that Fieldhouse put out as well, that one I thought was really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coffee?
The cold brew from what was it again? Fresh Cup. The cold brew from Fresh Cup, bourbon soaked beans. Like that one was amazing. It was so smooth. No bitter, like I find with cold brews, you usually get that bitter kind of aftertaste mm-hmm. that sometimes, I don't know, turns me off of cold brew coffee, which I don't drink a lot of cold brew coffee, but that was like, you could say, that's like a very sessionable cold brew.
Yeah, and I think that came from, they poured it on nitro, and so that takes some of the bitterness away from
Totally,
it kind
yeah.
of smooths out the whole kind of body of the coffee and the flavor of the coffee, but I mean, it's all anyone's talking about here is that bourbon cask conditioned. And it's an interesting process how they made that coffee, too, where they took the green beans and soaked it in bourbon and then kind of re-dried it to actually be able to roast it. And,
yeah.
I mean, it's been the best thing so far.
All right. Well, I think I know where I'm going next. And
oh, yeah.
More beer. All right. So I've got Darren from Yellow Dog with a Rise and Shine. And why put coffee in beer?
Because most brewers like to drink coffee, and they also like to drink beer. So to have their perfect day, they like to put their coffee in the beer as well. So this beer, we use Kenyan coffee from Philip Sebastian. It's really fruity coffee. So we wanted to accentuate the flavors of the coffee, as well as build the fruity notes of the coffee into the beer. So we use English yeast, which has lots of esters, and pushed that fermentation through, and then added the fruity coffee afterwards.
You know what? That was like the best answer I ever could have hoped for. Because we like these two things.
Yeah.
I thought it was. You always fear like someone like Wax is really poetic about it, but it you know what? That was that was great. I appreciate it. And I don't know too much about coffee. I'm enjoying coffee more and more. But as you say, I hadn't even considered an English yeast, but with those a bit of that fruitiness on the yeast and some of the better coffees. And you said which coffee brand or company was it?
It's Phil and Sebastian.
Phil and Sebastian.
Yeah.
And they're Vancouver company.
They're in Calgary.
Calgary. Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. But they sell their coffee here as well.
Awesome.
So yeah. Beautiful. They're a really good company. Apparently they just won the barista championship here in Vancouver. So Everyone here is mad at them apparently right now. So
get it.
We're making all sorts of friends.
Awesome. Crazy.
Is it rolling?
We're rolling. All right. I've got my old friend Roxy here from Moody Ales talking about her beer, one of two coffee beers she made. This is the darker version, and it's called...
We called it Dark Wild Sour Gruit.
And it's, I just had a sip, it's probably the most intriguing, and like, on, it's going to sound weird way to describe it, but engaging, I'm going to use that word. Beer I've had today.
Sweet.
Is it on?
That's what you're going for.
That's, yeah. Well, and this is totally off topic for the podcast, but can I get it at the brewery when I go home?
This is a one-off. So we made the dry hopped version. We have another keg of the dry hopped version, okay. But this was a 20 liter carboy, so we only had this one keg of it, but I'm going to make it again.
Awesome. So it'll be around again.
Yeah.
So tell me about the beer.
Okay. So it is a sour gruit, which means it's not brewed with hops. Normally, gruits are brewed with various other herbs and plants. We didn't actually add anything else to it, so it's like a very basic base. The sourness comes from a wild lactobacillus culture that we grew and added to the beer. So that's where the sourness comes from. We aged it on cocoa nibs for a little bit of a chocolate finish. And we added cold steeped roasted barley after the fact to bring out the roastiness, obviously the dark color, and just to give it a little bit more body, because the lactobacillus really like dries out the beer and doesn't make it thin, but it takes away most of the body. And then we added coffee after, so we cold steeped the coffee in the beer. So instead of making cold brew coffee with water, we just made it with beer.
So which part in the process did the coffee come in? Was it after...
After fermentation. And after cold crash, actually.
Wow.
So we just... The coffee roaster, Chris,
who's
here, he roasted the coffee a couple days before we added it. He ground it up fresh that morning, brought it to our brewery. We put it in a cold steeping bag and dropped it in the beer.
Wow.
We let it sit for a day and then we take it out the next morning. And so it's just like making cold brew coffee. Same
very
process.
Cool. Very cool.
And it just gives like the fresh coffee notes from it. And this roast is amazingly fragrant.
Yeah.
And it's mild tasting, but it's the perfect pairing with this style of beer. I find it's like fruity and floral, and it just went so perfectly with the sour beer.
And are you able to speak to how you guys got hooked up with Ethical Bean as opposed to anybody else?
Or? Yeah, well, I think it was just the organizers of the festival. I don't know if they randomly drew names, but they paired us up together.
And it's great for creativity, right? Like two ideas coming into it.
Totally. So we got together and we had a brainstorming session. Luckily, they loved sour beers, and so I was like, perfect. We have this amazing sour gruit recipe. We can do that. And so we did a bunch of experimentation. We tried all different hops, a bunch of different things, and these were two of our favorites that came out of it. So then we got together, brewed the beer, added the coffee.
Awesome. Yep. And which blend was it? Do you know?
It's the Exotic Roast.
The Exotic Roast. I'm looking at their colorful bags. Which one is it?
This one.
Silver orange. That's how I'm going to remember it.
So it's fruity, floral...
Ephemeral. I love that.
Yeah.
It doesn't last forever.
It smells so good. Smell, smell, smell.
Oh, it does. Oh, it does. So that smells really good.
It's amazing.
Awesome.
So I learned a ton about coffee during this process, about how different roasts pair with different beer and what it tastes like. Like, we tried this one, the sweet espresso, and this went really good in the stout, but this one was way better in the sour beer.
You know what? I think I'm going to have to just drink some coffee right now.
Yeah, totally. Do you want to try the dry hopped version?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'll get you a little bit. Sorry, that's not very much. She's busy. We'll get you more later.
It's tasting. So this is the dry hop version, and it's got the same coffee blend or a different
one? Same roast.
So it's the Exotic?
Yeah. That was by far our favorite. Because it doesn't give you that really harsh coffee aftertaste. It doesn't really have an aftertaste. It's all in the nose.
Yeah.
And then it goes away.
Yeah, super heavy on the nose, and then it sort of just like almost drops out of your palate.
Totally.
And that coffee is, I haven't had the coffee yet. So is it a fruitier coffee? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
And like that's the most interesting thing about this event at Hopped Wired, I found, is we're so used to seeing coffees with stouts and sort of that roasted flavor coming through.
Yeah.
And I suppose as people become more and more used to sort of quality coffees, those fruitier flavors from the coffee, and so many breweries just like you guys have been playing with those fruity flavors rather than the roasted flavors.
Totally.
It's opened up my mind quite a bit.
Yeah. There's so many different directions you can take it. You don't have to stick with the same old flavors, even though those are delicious.
Absolutely.
It's fun to go a totally different route. So.
Absolutely. Well, thanks very much, Roxy. And
thanks.
Great beer.
All right, thought I might give you guys some not so fun facts too, coffee beer historical perspective. So beer historically has been the everyman drink that everybody's in most regions had some analog to beer or beer itself, especially in the Western world, coming right out of like the very first civilizations in Sumeria, in the Middle East. But coffee is a bit more interesting because it's a bit more modern in its discovery and its trade to the modern world. And when it first comes around, it's actually more of a luxury drink. Funny thing is, we get into the 20th century, it's sort of both coffee and beer, especially North America, become really homogenized with the yellow Pilsner craze here in North America and what I would just describe as Folgers-y sort of stuff. I can't speak to the coffee as much, but in the last 30, 40 years, especially with Starbucks and large craft breweries, we've seen both sort of take a turn for the quality. I'd still say they're a every person drink, if you will, but they've both taken a turn for the quality, and Vancouver now counts itself among the best coffee towns in the world, and the best craft beer towns, I would also argue. So, not so fun facts. You feel free to skip past those.
All right, so we got Adam here from Lighthouse Brewing Co., and we're drinking their Night Watch Coffee Lager. So strange to see, stange-er, nothing strange these days in beer,
yes.
But stranger to see coffee in a lager. But what was the process for this beer?
Basically, we were looking at sort of doing a coffee beer. The sales team thought it'd be a good idea. And we thought, well, it would be really weird. Coffee stouts, I saw a lot of those, coffee porters. So what would be, how do we flip it on its head? And what makes almost no sense? Coffee lager. So we decided to try and make it, and the first iteration actually tasted pretty good. We were onto something. The actual recipe is about 2.5 years in development.
Yeah.
Both to get the proper flavor profile and also shelf stability. Having a beer taste great at the brewery is fantastic for our staff, but for customers, it's got to be shelf stable.
Yeah.
So it was a draft product for a couple of years, just available on growler fails on a few accounts in town. Developed a bit of a cult following, and we were always asked to put it in bottles, but we weren't comfortable doing it until I knew we could sit on a shelf for 2 or 3 months and still taste as good as it did fresh. So,
can I just say, I mean, there's a lot of breweries out there, I think, who put stuff on the shelves you maybe shouldn't. And so I can appreciate the fact that you guys gave it that much thought and really, really made sure that your product was something you were happy with on the shelf.
Yeah, that's a big thing. I mean, it's so easy to be really proud of it when it first comes out, but if it's not going to last, and you're going to hurt your brand, I think, a little bit. And you're also hurting your customers because they're going to expect the thing they had deliciously on top, and then, you know, it's just in the store for a few months. So we partnered with Fresh Cup, and Jim, the owner there, is fantastic, and he made a special blend just for us, and he understood this shelf issue that we were dealing with. And so we're working with him. You know, we came out with this great formula. We took it, we bottled it, we put it in the worst possible conditions we could around the brewery, so hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold. And then I sat down with our QC manager, and he put it on the microscope, and we tried it. Tasted, you know, just as good as it was day one, and then we were ready to rock with it. So came out in Bombers in December, and it's been great.
Yeah, and I mean, I have to say, from tasting it now, I got to say it's seamless. Within the podcast among Mike's Craft Beer, myself, and a few others, we're not big fans of lager.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, a lager is so hard to do because there's nothing to hide behind.
That's exactly it.
But I have to say, it sort of gives it the backbone I'm looking for a lager, looking for in a lager, excuse me.
Yeah.
It gives it something through that middle. And it's just, you know, just on top, makes it a little bit of a fuller beer for me.
Yeah.
But I appreciate your commitment to quality control.
Of course.
And just to speak a little bit about Fresh Cup, they're a Victoria company brand as well?
Yeah, absolutely. They're a local company. Yeah, Jim, who's the owner and the founder, you know, he was in the beer business back in the day, so he understands the needs, and he delivered exactly what we wanted, both in flavor, the caffeine level, the legal stuff around that, and again, this whole shelf life thing and the balance. So, yeah, we're extremely happy with how it turned out. And yeah, to your point previously, I mean, yeah, I don't get over the moon about lagers very often, because a well-made one tastes like just about nothing. Let's face it.
A lot of neutral flavors.
Exactly. But this one, it's nice because you have a really, it's still a beer, but it's really strong coffee profile. And you can have, you can drink a bomber, no problem. You have two or three pints of it, no problem, trust me. And you're still getting that great flavor come through.
Awesome.
And yeah, so we're really happy with the balance, and it's been sort of taken off really fast. There's a lot of buzz about it, and people often ask me about it because when it comes to their table or report at the growler station, you poured me the wrong beer. No, trust me, just smell it and you'll understand. So because it looks like a lager, doesn't mean it doesn't pack a lot of that coffee flavor.
Absolutely. Great beer, appreciate the chat, thanks very much. And
Thank you very much.
Oh, can we find it in Vancouver?
You can.
Yep.
Private stores, it's also at the government stores, and there'll be a huge rollout of it in March, actually.
Awesome.
So it'll be on a lot of stores starting in about a week and a bit, so.
I have to pick one up. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
All right, so I've got Alexandra, also known as... Do you go by Alex or Alexandra?
I go by Alex, yeah.
Alex, sorry. I saw you sort of tweet. It's like the kids.
I know. I'm not used to anyone saying Alexandra.
Yeah.
It's pretty weird. Not even my mom or dad say that. So.
But also at Flying Beer Girl on Instagram.
Yeah,
and also representing Untapped and Juju CL.
Yeah.
Today, so many different hats. And what did you guys bring Untapped today?
So today we brought Pêche Mortel from Du Duciel, which is based in Montreal. It's an imperial coffee stout, so it clocks in at 9.5%. Super smooth, obviously. I've actually only had this one on Nitro, so I had it at Darby's Gastown. They were serving it for a long time. And then when I found out today that's what I was going to be pouring, I was so stoked and excited.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it's just a really good beer.
I mean, yeah, for old school beer geeks, maybe only 2 or 3 years, like Du Duciel is sort of pinnacle. I think you were saying, like, it's got a ridiculous score on, like, rate beer.
So it's got a 100% on rate beer, and that's with 2,223 reviews.
That's a lot.
It's like unheard of.
That's more than I can count on a hand.
I know.
but it goes to show that the people at Untappd, I mean, that they're looking for a lot of pushing the quality.
Yep.
I haven't seen this beer in Vancouver in like anything but like small quantities, get to a pub, have it that night sort of thing ever.
Yeah,
so,
totally. Actually, and Darby's Gastown is going to be hosting the Pêche Mortel Day. It's the end of March. And I think there's going to be, I want to say like 7 or 9 Pêches. So there's going to be like a barrel aged and seven.
They're both odd numbers.
I was like 7 or 9, but yeah, 7 different types of pêche.
Well, let's say 7 to 9, because who knows? Yeah. They could come out with 2
maybe
more. We don't know.
They're going to come out with a couple more.
Yeah.
So I'm just excited to be here, and you know, beer and coffee are my probably 2 loves in life. So.
Yeah, it's so, I didn't know, I knew of Pêche Mortel. I think I've had it maybe once, I can't remember. But I didn't realize there was coffee in it. And sitting here drinking coffees, it's and beers,
I know.
It's so nice.
I feel like I need to get a beer in me. I've had some cold brew and I'm like a little wired.
Maybe, man, my stomach is really confused right now.
Oh,
I know that.
I bet, yeah, just coffee, beer, coffee, beer.
Exactly.
Have you had a donut yet?
No, that's right, right. Well, we'll end this one here.
Yeah.
But great chatting with you. All right, so Carnell from Brewart Inlet on behalf of Pacific Beer Chat here, walking away from Hopwired. And I gotta say, what a festival. Totally different in terms of what I've expected before from a festival. Obviously, the beer is there. That's something that we're all used to. And in terms of beer festival, can I just say, really cool. Usually we go to festivals and there's, you know, 2 or 3 or maybe 4 or 5 beers you've never had, cool beers. A lot of brewers will just bring their
normal stuff, and that's fine too. But this one was totally wild. Everybody brings something new or even slightly different, which is a great change of pace. And then you have the coffee as well. And you know what? Lots of delicious coffee, lots of deliciousness, period. But to take it to the next level, holy crap. Uppers, downers, coffee, beer. I wouldn't say I'm drunk. Kept it pretty easy. But wow, do I feel weird. I am the most, how do I explain this? I'm the most upbeat, fuzzy I've ever been. And I feel like I can run 100 miles an hour and fall asleep at the same time. So what a weird experience. But I gotta say, I'm pleasantly surprised by this festival, and wish them all the best in the future. So that's it.
I'd like to thank Carnell for spearheading this episode. If you enjoyed this episode, please head over to patreon.com/pacificbeardchat. We'd love if you would help support us if you think our content gives you some value. You can pitch in as little as a dollar, and we'll mention you on the website. $5 gets you a mention live on the show, and it'll also get you some bonus content we're creating every month. There's also some different levels where you can get stickers, shirts, hats, and that kind of thing. So if you like our show and you want to help us out and help us make better content and upgrade our equipment, check out patreon.com/pacificbeardchat.
Hopped Up Network is a group of independent beer podcasts devoted to providing insight into our local craft beer communities. You can visit hoppedupnetwork.com to hear more podcasts like this one.
Hi, I'm Katie.
And I'm Kathy.
And we are Women Drinking Beer. We drink beer, review them, and tell you about them.
We cover the Twin Cities beer scene along with other favorites, as well as interviews with women in the beer industry. We upload weekly on Thursday to iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you find your podcasts.
And we can be found drinking beer daily on social media via Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search Women Drinking Beer and look for the kiss mark on the bottle cap.
So if you enjoy beer, nerdy gal, or both, we encourage you to taste along and come have a beer with us.
Come have a beer with us.
Thanks for tuning into this episode. Find our show on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, YouTube, or your favorite podcast site or app at Pacific Beer Chat. Please leave us a review as it helps spread the word about the show and helps new listeners find our episodes. You can find Pacific Beer Chat on social media at Pacific Beer Chat on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Send us an email at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com with any feedback or comments. We'd love to hear from you. You can also find us at pacificbeerchat.com. We are part of the Hopped Up Network, an international craft beer podcast network. If you enjoy this craft beer-focused show or any other craft beer-focused shows, check out hoppedupnetwork.com. And thanks to Tim of craftbeertourist.com for designing our brand new logo. Thanks to Kevin Ems of Conundrum for allowing us to use the song Lothian in the intro to the podcast. You can find Conundrum on Instagram and Facebook at Music of Conundrum. You can also find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. To play us out, here is the full version of Lothian. Cheers.
Lessons learned on those walks. on that path. All of my marches through the dark. I found out so much then. So much more than I can't know. I wanted you so badly by my side. I cursed our time apart. The big